Vachon. Or as the French say, Vachon.
I'm Brian Brown, and this is The Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less. You're listening to Voice of Vachon, which is VOV in text talk. Our call letters are KVSH. That's Kavish, not Kvetch. At 101.9 on your FM dial. All VOV programming is transmitted from our state-of-the-art cinder block studio, poised on the crest of Sunrise Ridge in the shadow of mighty Mount Rainier.
And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
I thought it would be nice to close out this issue of The Brown Briefly with another B.E. King song. How about Spanish Harlem, where Sheila and I actually lived just before moving from the island of Manhattan to Vachon Island 7 years ago? People often ask why we moved from Manhattan to Vachon. Now that the statute of limitation has expired, I can acknowledge we were part of the government's witness protection program and were provided new identities and a safe house here on the island. It's a long story. Yeah. Now, actually, we moved to Vachon to stalk our children who had migrated from New York City to Seattle, all four of them, in Seattle from New York is about as far away from their parents as they could get within the continental United States. Initially, we flew back and forth between the two islands for birthdays, holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. Did you know, Truman, that Vachon is approximately the same size as Manhattan?
I just read that recently, yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, being a perceptive pilgrim, I immediately noticed that the density of population seems slightly larger in the city of New York than downtown Vachon.
Slightly, yes.
And one native did assure me that you had a subway. Little did I know he was talking about a sandwich shop.
Indeed.
There's a few other subtle differences, but anyway, after being empty nested, Sheila and I flew back and forth for visits. But eventually that became wearisome. I mean, you can just ride JetBlue so many times. It's my contention that being bi-coastal after age 70 is no longer sexy.
Indeed.
Anyway, that's how we happened to move to Vachon.
That was the voice of Brian Brown, the creator of The Brown Briefly. And if you noticed during the introduction, that was before the opening of the downtown Jean Bosch studio, when we were still broadcasting from Sunrise Ridge. Brian started Briefly and brought his high standards of hosting an intelligent discussion of current events, laced with humor, as you can tell, and empathy. Brian's central concept, as he stated at the beginning, is less is more, more or less. And he invariably always offered more. Today, Truman O'Brien is guiding us from the Voice of Vachon, Jean Bosch Broadcast Studio in bustling and bodacious downtown Vachon. And joining Truman, today is a very special day because it's our reunion show. Joining him is his wingmate, Craig Bellis, a distinguished group of Briefly alumni, including in alphabetical order, Lynn Kerrigan, Gail Kellner, Susan McCabe, zooming in from home, Michael Shook, and our very special guest, Brian's wife, Sheila Brown, who is also a powerful voice for progressive politics on Vachon, zooming in from her home, and Kevin Jones, and I'm Bruce Hallman, zooming in from our homes. Today is a very significant day, as are all days. But today, 1995, Pixar released Toy Story. Now, so what? Toy Story is the first entirely computer-animated feature-length film, and we're now up to Toy Story 4, and Toy Story 5 is set to be released next June. So, a very auspicious day. But it's also the day, 59 years ago, when President Kennedy was assassinated. So I thought it might be good to start this reunion show by sort of reflecting back. Where were we? What were you doing? What are your memories of November 22nd, 1963, 59 years ago? So let's sort of run through that. Sheila, as a guest of honor, do you want to start? Where were you November 2nd, 19?
Well, thank you so much for having me this and hearing all Brian's voice. And it's all kind of overwhelming, but I'm so thrilled to be here. He loved the Briefly so much, as you all know. And he loved all of you who worked with him on it. Brian and I lived in Indianapolis. He was a very, very poorly paid journalist for a radio FM station, or well, I don't know what it was, TV and FM something or other. And so we lived in actually a converted chicken coop on some lady's home, a farm, was a corn and pig farm. And we had little tasks, and so we didn't have to pay rent. And that's where I was in this little tiny, funny little kitchen, trying for some reason, I don't know why, to learn how to make egg rolls. So at that point, I heard the news. Stunned.
Wow.
Wow. How did the egg rolls turn out?
I don't think I finished them. Never went there again.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, Susan, how about you? Where were you in November 1960?
I was in line for biology class at the Catholic girls' school I was attending as a sophomore. And I was, at that time, totally enamored with Camelot and the Kennedys and all that I believed this country stood for. And in that line outside the classroom, the nuns came out and told us they were in tears. Everyone else was in tears. And we all went home. I spent the rest of the day with my sister in front of the television, getting totally depressed until she decided to take me out to a movie. And as I remember, it was something bawdy I wasn't supposed to see at that age. But that was probably one of the most horrific days of my life, as I'm sure it was for a lot of folks.
Definitely, definitely. Hey, Lynn, how about you?
Hi, and thanks again for having us all on. You know, I was sitting in my sociology class in the 12th grade at Gordon High School in DeKalb County, Georgia. And I had been taking a American government class where they had us learning to debate, learning to work with political candidates, to really learn about how politics happen, and think about how we could understand various forms of government. And when this shocking assassination happened, I felt like we all grew up in one day, that it was such a evident, slap in the face to who we thought we were and who I thought we were, that I immediately joined the Young Democrats after a few days of shock. And started really thinking about, you know, how to contribute. You know, the John Kennedy motto that I really tried to live by was ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And that legacy of his, I think, was just formative to me, deeply embedded on that day.
And I think for most of us of that age, definitely. Michael, how about you?
Howdy, folks. It's nice to be here. Boy, I was a runt. I was only 9 years old, and so the teacher was greatly distressed, and so therefore I remember our classroom was greatly distressed. We didn't know what the heck was going on. But I do remember the solemnity. I liked that teacher. She was a wonderful Mrs. Pullis. I still remember her name. And I'd never seen her quite so shaken up. She was always in such good charge of us. And then when I got home and listened to my folks, you know, sort of sitting around listening in on conversations and asking the odd question here and there, I began to realize that something really major had happened and things had shifted. I don't know that it had the kind of effect it had on you, Lynn, or on you, Susan, but it did. I think it was part of the catalyst that eventually found me within a year or two starting to want to sit down with my dad and watch the news and talking to him. Okay, so what does this mean? What does that mean? Why are these people doing this and that kind of thing? And that was really, so it got me going in a different direction, expanding to the wider world, albeit in a shocking way, to say the least. Yeah.
Definitely a coming of age time, for sure. So Gail, how about you?
Good morning, everyone. Nice to be here and see everyone here in the studio and on Zoom. Well, I probably dropped my bottle from my crib with the news. I was only two.
You meant your liquor.
I didn't she say, did. That was, didn't say she what didn't was say what in was the in bottle. But, yeah, so it's, you know, I know of the event, of course, just secondhand.
Yeah, Gail, growing up, I mean, how did your parents interpret that for you as you grew up?
You know, I don't remember any specific conversations about it. So I don't have a great story to go with that. I think for me personally, you know, I think it's in retrospect I now see that we lost someone who with such vibrancy, you know, such positivity. I think that the idea that a president, you know, in the United States in this day and age could be assassinated was maybe more what I was left with than anything else.
For sure.
Right.
Truman, where were you at this time?
I was a senior in high school. I was in, I think it was fourth period. It was band practice. And the PA came on and they made the announcement that that the president had been shot, but of course we didn't know, you know, how badly it was. So we were immediately dismissed. We put away our instruments and I raced. Well, ordinarily we only had a half hour lunch because we would come back and practice with the pep band, which was a, you know, 30 piece band. But I jumped in my car, raced home, and ran in and said, Mom, turn on the TV, turn on the TV. And we turned on the TV, and about that time, I think it was Walter Cronkite that came on and said that he had died. And it was really put a pall, you know, on the whole, all of us. And I was president of the Key Club at the time, and we made a kind of a memorial in the main hallway of our high school. And we sponsored that and of course, had that famous quote as part of it. But I would remember it was a very devastating time for all of us.
Kevin, how about you?
Yeah, so I find I fall sort of within Gail and Michael's age range there. So I don't have any like day of recollections. But the thing that's really sort of enduring vision for me is the kids and their participation, their involvement in all of the ceremonies, you know, that followed the assassination. And just to be empathetic, you know, about the situation that they were enduring and how really, really terrible, you know, that political violence is as it reaches into all of our lives in different ways. But that's the most enduring memory for me.
Sure. Thanks. Yeah. How about you, Craig?
Well, unlike the rest of you, I wasn't born yet.
Yeah, excuse me.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wait, yeah, really.
Wait
watch
a second.
Yourself.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was about line two.
That was Garfield you were thinking of.
No, I was, I like many of you, I was in high school. I was a freshman in freshman algebra class in a Catholic school with the nuns, like Susan, and the... We were all sitting there, and it came over the loudspeaker. The principal came on the loudspeaker, and we were all kind of shocked. Sister Charles Ann, who I had a crush on for years, she was you could barely see her face, but she was a beautiful, beautiful young woman. But it all went to hell when we heard the announcement. We all were all kind of crushed. This was in a co-ed Catholic school in Northern Ohio. And I think actually we sat in class and prayed for a while. And then went home and turned on the black and white television and watched everything we could from there on out, including Ruby and the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that really struck me was the actual funeral, as you was mentioned about the children, and the thing that stands out is the horse-drawn, caisson, right, with President Kennedy's body on it. It just was an extraordinarily moving, and it was a tipping point in American history. Mm-hmm. We went from a fairly naive, at least for the preceding, decade or so, couple decades, until then, and then the assassinations and the political upheaval really started hitting the fan. So that's my memory.
How about you, Bruce?
Yeah, well, I was in college. Sheila and I are kind of the senior members of the school. but I was in college in Florida, and it was homecoming weekend. So it was just right before homecoming weekend, and everything was canceled. And, for 19 year old college kids, it's sort of like, wait a minute. But then the solemnity of it sort of hits you. And I think, like Craig, the ceremonies, watching TV, watching the funeral procession, seeing the horse, the riderless horse with the boot upside down. I mean, it really sort of struck you, struck me. And I think for all of us, it was transformative in that sense. It was kind of the real world sort of impinging on the magical kingdom of Camelot, if you will. And so, I think for all of us, it was a transformative moment. Even if you were just 2 years old, the memory of it sort of carries on.
That's interesting, the comment about the caisson and the horses, because as you spoke of that, Craig and Bruce, that just came back to me vividly, and that it's interesting that I would seize on that. But I was struck by it, too. And I think that was one of those things where I asked Dad, what does that mean?
It was an interesting political education. If we, particularly coming out of World War II and in the 50s and early 60s, I mean, America was a kind of magical kingdom. We were on top of the world, and this sort of impinged in a very powerful way. So, yeah, well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate, not to start the show on a downer with talking about the assassination, but at the same time, it's great to reflect. I mean, next year will be 60 years, since the assassination. So always interesting to take that moment and reflect. And that's a bit of what we're doing today with today's show, taking a moment to step back from the sort of the flurry of all the activities we do in the Brown Briefly and trying to keep up with current events, and sort of just taking a moment and step back and greet all the past Brieflys, greet Sheila, and sort of talk about what's going on in our own lives. And so let's do the same kind of thing and sort of walk around the room, if you will. And what have you been up to, particularly the Brieflys who have left and come back for this reunion? What have you been doing with your life since you fled the Briefly into a real world out there?
What's it like?
Is there a real world out there?
we do get absorbed in it, don't we?
Susan, I know you've been busy. Tell us a little bit.
I have, and like Kevin, I don't know what life is like beyond Zoom, but I've been exercising my writing muscle in a variety of ways, some with King County, some with other clients, and some publishing my own essays.
Yay.
And I'll plug that. I'm publishing on Substack under the title Hot Flashes, Cold Showers. And right now it's free, so get online now while you can. And some are funny, some are not. Some are good, some are not. But it's a lot of fun. And right now I'm taking care of my dear husband, Luke, who recently had spinal surgery. And he is thankfully on the mend.
Good. Hey,
so I've been filling my time.
Had the same one that I did, right, Susan? Same
he did. Thing? He's got a foot-long incision in his spine.
Oh. Yeah, mine wasn't quite that big. Hey, I do have to make one plug for another plug for Susan. Susan is a brilliant writer. She a few years ago wrote a one-woman play that she also performed. And not only was her writing brilliant, but her stage performance was incredible as well. So kudos to you.
You're here.
Susan, it was great.
Aw, shucks. Thanks. Yeah.
And I've been reading those essays religiously, the compositions. They are poignant. They are funny. They bring back memories in my own life. So I love them when I get them. Thank you.
Oh, good. My work is done.
your work is never done.
That's right.
Thanks, Susan. Lynn, how about you? What have you been up to besides cutting trees in your front yard?
That's exactly right. I feel like what I wanted to do after a long stint at the Briefleys, which I adored, but things physically, you know, medically were getting a little bit unstable for me, and I needed to take some time out to just tend to myself and, you know, managing a house when you're not feeling well and property and all that's kind of a mess. So I took some time off this summer to kind of strengthen and get back into, you know, a music festival and travel down south to see my cousin. And then I took down a whole bunch of trees in the front of my house, which I missed, but they were either dead or impinging on my water line or my septic system in the back. A lot of things, overgrowth that hadn't been pruned in the 30 years that I was there, to let a little sunlight in and, you know, get a little safety there from worrying about, you know, the house. And that was good. But what I really noticed was I did not want to run back toward anything serious. I'd been working for the Medical Reserve Corps. I'd been on Voice of Vashon. And I let myself just sort of hang loose a little bit and attend to some of the serious things in life, like, or less serious things in life, whatever, about, like, is Jennifer Lopez happy with Ben Affleck? I mean, there's a whole other world out there.
Is Jennifer with Ben? I didn't know.
Yes, they got married.
I need to
renew
my People magazine subscription.
I was just at my sister's. We just welcomed two babies into our family. I was at dinner with a one-year-old, and we just welcomed Nash Zane Kerrigan in on the 20th. Who is the son of my brother's son. So I have a new grand nephew. But it's very fun to just lay back for a while. And I'm feeling that energy, especially as the weather turns and it's more internal for me in the wintertime to do something a little more intellectual. And I hope, like Susan. So that was inspirational, Susan, to get back to some of the writing that I have done and kind of get that motor going. I wanted to get the music motor going and my physical self going, and that's better now. So I'm glad to be here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to have you here. And it's good to see the sunlight. I can see your house now.
Exactly.
not from my house, but when I drive by.
That's right.
And it looks great.
Thank you.
It looks great. Gail, how about you? How about updating us on what you've been doing?
Well, as many of you know, I published had a book published this spring called Hope, A History of the Future. And so that's gone out into the world and it got some amazing reviews that pushed it into libraries, which is very happiest thing. So it went out into libraries up and down the East Coast and the Midwest, as well as like 4 copies sold into the Seattle Public Libraries. So that for me is a big win because you're reaching, you know, a book in a library reaches, you know, dozens of people over the years. And that was the hope of the book.
Congratulations.
So in it, I imagine a peaceful, just, verdant future world that could arise after the climate crisis. And mark your calendars, December 11th, that's a Sunday, at 4 p.m., I'll be at Snapdragon to do a little reading.
Oh,
and
yay.
There'll be treats and books available. So love to see any and all of you there if you can make it. So that's Sunday, December 11th at Snapdragon, 4 p.m. So So, yeah, so that's kind of taken up most of my energy and time, you know. and I have enjoyed, I've been working in some different gardens around the island that grow food for the food bank, specifically on Tuesdays between 10 and noon. I've decided I would take whatever energies I have and put them in something where I could see the direct results. So I work in the Zen Center, grows food for the food bank, as it does Masuda Gardens and Land Trust. And so I've been spending Tuesdays and Fridays at those places. So.
Cool.
Great. Yes. Very, very different kind of work than the Briefly work.
Yeah, I needed a little break from the news.
I think we all do at times, right? For sure. So, Mr. Michael, besides being a thespian and a singer, what else have you been doing?
Not much of that. Gosh, I've been being a real sloth pig. Not laying about, but laying low, definitely. I just needed a break, too, from everything. I'd been in quite a few shows, and I had some good parts that I could have auditioned for, but I just really felt like, I want to devote more time to just hanging around the house. So that's what I've been doing. Lots of gardening, tending trees and dealing with the diseases on some of the Japanese maples, alas, and things like that. And herding the two pigs, as I call them, the two Scotty dogs around the yard. We have a new one named Walter, Sir Walter Scotty. Cynthia named him, but I agreed. Yeah, and he's a delight. He's full on Scotty. He knows no fear. He tried to take on that Newfoundland Goliath down at the at the Burton coffee stand one day. It was just like, let me at him. he's about as big as his head, but. And singing to myself and singing at church, and hanging out with my lovely wife and just really enjoying the heck out of being alive.
All right, another plug. Your performance in the Woody Guthrie show was beyond belief.
Thank you.
Absolutely wonderful.
Thank you. That was just such a great show. Of course, Woody's music, and I love the people in the cast. It was just great to work with everybody on that. So, this I brought this.
it has a bobblehead.
It's a bobblehead doll of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the notorious RBG, and I got it because I thought, okay, Brian loved RBG, as we all did, and still do. And I thought, she can be, if you guys want it, she can be sort of the guardian mascot.
Absolutely.
Here.
Bring it on.
For the studio.
That's awesome.
And she's got her dissent collar on to remind us all to exercise our constitutional rights to dissent.
There you go. Yeah, Kevin.
Michael, I was thinking about your Japanese maple. It must be a forest by now. Are you surrounded by splendiferous color, or how's that going?
With some of them were just magnificent this year. Yeah, they're finally getting big enough where they really put on a display. I had to take a couple out of my favorites that unfortunately got a disease that's incurable, and I didn't want it to spread. That just about killed me, but oh well. That leaves, now I have to get a couple more. What can I say? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, it's a lifetime investment, my friend.
And Michael, you know, this is only 2022, but are there any announcements in the offing from you? I'm just curious. Just curious.
Well, I consulted with my staff, and both Walter and Duffy indicated to me clearly that I should not seek,
oh no,
nor should I accept,
oh no,
the nomination of my party or any other party. However,
You sound like Lindsey Graham.
I will accept invitations to any party.
There you go. Well, see this
is an independent.
This is for sure what we were hoping that we could play for you today, but I guess that's not going to work this year. Right?
I'm old, and it's time to set that aside.
Yes, I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that.
You're less than 79.
need to send a telegram to Joe Biden about that.
That's right.
Well, we've heard from the briefly, but let's hear from the sort of inspiration for the briefly. Sheila, what have you been up to?
Oh, okay. Well, recently you had put in your notes, what am I doing to move the progressive agenda forward?
Exactly.
And I have to say, other than financially and spiritually and morally and everything else in that category, I'm not doing anything for the progressive agenda. It used to be that Vashon Progressive Alliance or something met in my house, in our house, once a month or something, and we all discussed progressive things, and then that had to end when Brian got so sick. So I do miss that a great deal. So I put in some time there. I just want to say that. But what am I doing with my time? I'm taking care of my 4 acres, my 2 sheep, my 1 cat. I'm replanting a couple of acres into a natural native forest, which wow, I adore. Great. It's just a great piece of love of mine. Mm-hmm. And growing my own vegetables and, you know, all those good things. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, when people ask me sometimes, how am I doing without Brian and blah, blah, blah. So there are a lot of different words, or there are no words or whatever. But this morning while I was down here doing whatever in the kitchen, I just said, it's boring. It's just boring. That's the word that seems to describe my life right now. I love my life. I love my friends. I love Vashon. Everything is good in every way. I've had so much support. But in this house right here, I think it's kind of boring. So that said, I'm very glad to be with all of you here today, because this is not boring, and it's been magical.
Yeah, it's never boring. And I have to just give a plug for you and Brian, that those meetings of the Progressive Alliance were the genesis of the Vashon, the whole Vashon project, which have supported all the way through, and which is providing a lot of great information to everyone on the climate crisis. So if you're bored, we could come back.
Yeah.
Well, and you, Susan, have been, you know, 50% of the whole Vashon project. So I thank you for that.
One of the things I remember that you saying that Brian had said was that he was going to miss the mirth. And I think that's pretty apropos. Yeah, we try and keep it going here a little bit if we can with this group. But yeah, we do miss his mirth very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Sheila. And thank you all for being here. It's just such a great opportunity to sort of sit back and reflect a little bit on how the briefly has sort of morphed and changed, and how we've upgraded from the Sunrise Ridge blockhouse studio to sort of downtown Vashon. I mean, it's an interesting sort of transformation over the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah, Truman.
Yeah, I want to.
Bruce, you should tell us what you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Bruce.
I mean, how do you ever sleep?
Before we get on.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
I do. I try and get my 8 hours a night, you know, but I've just been up to Vashon history stuff. You know, that's sort of what I do. But also, you know, I'm going back to Australia and New Zealand in January. COVID sort of shut down the program. I teach in Australia and New Zealand every January, February, March for 20 years, and COVID sort of shut that down. Australia and New Zealand decided they didn't want Americans coming in. So, in January, we're heading back down under. So trying to get that organized, get my head back into teaching again, you know, when you're away from it for a couple of years, and particularly during COVID, teaching has changed. University life has changed dramatically. Students are more used to being online, or more used to doing Zooming, and teaching in a Zoom format is very different than a face-to-face kind of format. So I'm sort of going through those sort of personal crises of sort of figuring, am I up to it? But I am looking forward to connecting. One of the things about doing something like that for 20 years is the colleagues I've worked with, I've sort of grown up with them. You know, their little kids are now having grandkids, and it's that kind of stuff that you just sort of build these relationships that are very, very special. And so I'm looking forward to that. So, so beside my normal stuff with the museum and trying to write for the newspaper, I'm trying to get my head around leaving Vashon for a couple months here in January. Yeah, Truman.
And for you listeners of the Brown Briefly, we are going to get him via Zoom, so he'll still be with us, even though he'll be...
It's the old adage, it's the Hotel California, you can't check out.
That's right.
That's why we drug you all back here.
That's right. We're shopping.
You'll never get totally free of us.
That's right.
I'm looking at the field reports from down under, personally.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's, it should be quite enlightening.
It will be summer down there.
Oh, yeah. It will be. Yeah, I'll regale you with tales of the weather.
And the toilet bowls will be spinning in the opposite direction.
Yeah, right.
Is that true?
No. Hey, I just wanted to throw out. How this whole thing got started. Brian, initially it was a pre-recorded show. In fact, the intro that I played this morning was from one of those pre-recorded shows that he and I did up on Sunrise Ridge. But he began, the oldest one that I could find on my computer was from 2014. And I'm not sure the exact date that Brian started, but he started with another one of our producers, Andy Valencia. And Andy came to me and said, can you work with this guy? He's driving me crazy. He wants all these sound effects and all this, weird stuff to be played. And Andy just wasn't up for it. So I said, oh, yeah, I'll try it. And so, of course, I fell in love with him immediately. And we had a great time. But he would do a half hour. He had it fully scripted, about four pages. In fact, I think I still have some on my computer, some of his scripts. And he would have, I can't remember now what he said, SOT, sound on tape, I think is what he used to use. A little abbreviation for when he wanted sound effects or music or whatever it was. And we'd occasionally play a song like we did in that intro. You heard him saying that we're going to play Benny King, a couple of songs from him. But in any case, it was great fun. And I think, Gail, you might have been one of the first.
I think I was. I'm pretty sure that, Brian and I really, really hit it off. And we had both written for the Heart of Vashon. There was a performance, and we had both had pieces performed in that. And so we knew each other from that. And I'm pretty sure he invited me onto the Brown Briefly. Initially, it was to interview me. And then I think it was because I have a laugh that he thought would replace the soundtrack. I laughed at everything he said because he was truly funny and so very, very charming.
Well, I talked him into going live. And at first he said, I don't know, because we would edit. We'd do a lot of editing of that half-hour show, get rid of all the ums and ahs and whatever. And finally, when we opened the downtown studio, I said, Brian, the perfect opportunity. Let's go do this. And that's when he invited you. I think maybe one of the first shows.
Yeah, I think I was. Yeah. What an honor.
And then who was next? Was it Michael? Were you the next?
I don't know.
Bruce.
I know that because Michael invited me.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce came on.
Bruce was already here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Bruce, you must have come on right after Gail then, about that time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And brought the historical, not the hysterical, but the historical perspective. Historical, right. A little bit of the hysterical.
Historical.
Yeah. And then, Michael, you showed up.
Yeah. And I can't remember how, what did I, oh, I'd written a letter in to the Beachcomber, and Brian liked it and just out of the blue invited me.
No.
Yeah, and and the rest is hysterical. Or
as it were.
Hysterium, well, Michael, I don't know what it is.
Let's be truthful here. It was the Mariners that pulled you together.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, my gosh. It was actually, I was wearing my Brooklyn Dodgers cap the Champagne's Labor Day party. And
yes, it was the party. I remember him, the two of you sitting out there on the bench doing the Brooklyn Dodger thing, crying.
I couldn't believe it. I saw that, and I was like, wow, who's that guy there? He's got, I have the wall in my office is all arranged now with my pictures of the Dodgers, and Sheila bequeathed to me his Dem Bums Brooklyn Dodgers pennant from it looks ancient, so that's up there. So that's a wonderful thing for me to look at as I read or look at the dogs lying on the carpet.
And then I was going to ask Lynn, do you remember when you came on? And
I remember Gail was rumored to be leaving to go up to the San Juans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And by then you'd kind of gotten used to, if not tolerated, a woman's perspective kind of and thought maybe you would further balance the three or four men to one woman. And so I kind of came on to ensure that we could keep you all in line and, now and then as needed.
And little did we know that we were going to be overwhelmed. I mean, that we were way, way out distance for that.
Well, you know, I grew up with that Southern Belle iron fist and a velvet glove. And I fear that has crept into my tongue as well. So it was just a good mix, I think, of all of us with both humor and intelligence and real engagement and curiosity with the ways of the world, and a great tolerance for each other's iniquities and, you know, ways of being. We then realized we had a nice model going out, I think, for trying to discuss all the crazy stuff in the world and float some different perspectives and, you know, really look at current affairs and look at the ways of the world with some humor and some enjoyment and some concern. And I had a great time doing that.
Well, I have to tell you, with our new format, we welcomed Craig Bellis to the group, and Craig has brought an amazing perspective that we did not have. We've been having a great time with you, Craig.
I'm still working on that intelligence part.
Well, I was going to mention that. I thought I'd let it slide. A little different format. Yeah, Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, Truman, I was looking back. You know, we invited Craig to join an episode to talk about whether or not to indict the former president. Right. And because of Craig's vast legal experience, we thought that would be very appropriate. And of course, you guys needed to sort out the reality about this airplane.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's another thing.
Yeah.
But so we've been able to get some good airplane news and talk about current events. So it's been a pleasure to have Craig on.
And when did Susan come on?
Oh, we left out Susan.
Yeah.
And Kevin.
No, I don't remember exactly. I think it was another time when Gail was disappearing.
Oh, it was. It was.
Gail has, you know, come and gone.
I tend to row north. Yeah.
Right. And you wanted a female perspective. Little did you know how intense it would be.
Indeed.
Susan, you were doing the show right after the Brown Brief.
Oh, right. Yeah, it made it convenient. That's right. I was still producing new Real Talk shows.
You were walking in the door every time the briefly was going on, and it's sort of like, we'll just grab her and sort of join the group. You know, come a little early, right?
Yeah. And I loved Brian. I loved the show. I loved being with all of you in a forum where there was no censorship, no holds barred. I still like that.
So Brian, you know, he always disowned us at the beginning of every show. But there was a disclaimer. I think that's still played.
Absolutely.
It is. That's right. These opinions are not new.
Very important to have that. We learned.
And I'm trying to remember when Kevin came in.
Yeah,
excuse
Kevin,
me.
I don't remember.
Was that when Michael was leaving?
No.
No, I arrived at the time Michael would arrive with Brian in a pickup truck. And it was Gail and Lynn and Truman and Bruce and Susan at that time. And I don't know, Sheila, Brian never told me why he invited me to join. And I can't actually remember the conversation, but maybe. I know that I was spending time with you guys at your gatherings of
yes.
Revolution.
I have a feeling he heard you talk and could tell that you were a man of great wisdom and would say things that he would like you to say, something of that sort, I'm sure.
You can't fool some of the people some of the time then.
I just want to say about mentioning Michael and the pickup truck. Michael, thank you so much for picking him up. Oh, that was just, it made my life so much easier because Brian was usually always late for anything yes. we were going to, including the ferry. And it was a little bit of a challenge for me to, you know, keep my mouth closed, which I never did. thank you, Michael, for picking him up.
It was my pleasure.
That was always such a relief for me. Sorry, Kevin, I interrupted.
Well, no worries, Sheila. I just wanted to thank you for clarifying that because, I mean, I really lean into this progressive persuasion, as you well know, and I wasn't sure if I'm always on solid ground with that, but now I'll just continue to mm-hmm. to push for that.
Mm-hmm. You are. Good.
Susan, you said you were going to pop in.
What? Oh, I was making a joke at Kevin's expense.
Oh. Please go ahead.
Please do.
Basically saying that I thought Brian had been a good judge of character, but he let Kevin on.
Anyway.
you can't win them all.
just look around the room, right?
A good judge of characters. Is yeah. more like
yes, right. So we've heard from the alumni of the Briefly. Let's hear a little bit from the current Brieflys about what's going on in your world this week or this month or this year. Truman, what's up with you?
Well, as you know, I'm an airport commissioner here on the Vashon Municipal, elected position. And there's a new hangar being built, and there's a lot of controversy around that. And well, I'm dealing with that at the moment, but I also got a chance to fly the other day, and my airplane partner Craig actually got the airplane out for me. Had the darn thing pre-flighted. All I had to do was show up and get on and fly. It was like, wow, why didn't I have this before? You know, but the problem is obviously I can't push the airplane out quite yet, but I'm getting there.
I don't want to tax your abilities, you know,
yeah,
so help,
yeah,
help you out there a bit.
I appreciate that very much.
Yeah. Kevin, what's going on with your world?
You know, it's been an interesting week. I have been watching the election results, and a colleague of mine asked, so how did things turn out in the state? I said, I don't know. That's a good question. And within the hour, she got back and said, it looks like we're going to have one more progressive in the House and one more progressive legislator in the Senate. So that's, I think, good news. And I was actually on the phone this morning with one of our new returning state legislators, Representative Beth Dolio, who's an environmental champion. And she says that there's some changes afoot with our legislators. The details won't be known until the session starts. But she said there's a lot of environmental champions are moving into very influential roles in the state legislature, including the if all is going to plan, the House Majority Leader, the House Whip, and new members to lead the Senate and the House environmental committees. So those are all really good news. And the last accomplishment was just last night. The Vashon-Maury Community Council voted on whether or not to have a land acknowledgement, and it was unanimous that we will. And so now there's, of course, community meetings to bring people together to hear their thoughts about what a land acknowledgement statement should include. So moving on a very good trend right now. So thanks for asking.
Oh, great. Thanks. Craig, how about you?
You know, I'm trying to say no more often.
I was gonna say you're here though.
So, yeah. So I know that's it. I'm picking and choosing. I think a little more judiciously. I don't represent individuals or corporations anymore. I limit my practice to arbitration, to being an arbitrator and a mediator, and lecturing. I give lectures as well. Through the Fulbright Association, and but you know, I was thinking back. I was prepared for Zoom back many years ago in 1987. I was getting a degree at UC Berkeley and teaching law at Gonzaga University at the same time. So I'd fly back and forth and back and forth every week between the two cities, and occasionally, I'd have a final in Berkeley, and I wouldn't be able to go back and give a lecture in Spokane. So I would set up a big old VCR video camera with a backdrop. I'd go up on the headlands above the Golden Gate Bridge so that people at least could look at the view if they didn't want to listen to my lecture. And I would give my lecture, in a setting like that, or driving down Lombard or something along those lines. So I had fun trying to create those videos and impart some knowledge. So when Zoom came along, I thought, we can do this. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to.
I have a quick comment. I was going to say it earlier. When Gail was a regular member, she would go to Orcas Island and spend weeks and she
years.
She would phone in, and that was really hard, because when you're face to face and everything, you can kind of give a cut across the neck when you want somebody to,
Truman regularly wanted to give me.
I
that
did.
Signal.
I tried to give her the cut across the, to get her to stop. No, but I'm kidding, of course. But it did. It was difficult. It was difficult because we didn't. And that's what's wonderful about Zoom is it's like being here. Almost,
Truman, right? I sit next to you and I give you that symbol.
I know you do. It's the elbow that he gives me that. Shut up.
Very funny.
Well, in my world, drop by the Heritage Museum sometime during the next few weeks or into December or January, into March. There's just a magnificent Audubon bird display, video done by Sarah Driggs, photographs by 25 different island photographers. And Sarah has just done this magnificent job focusing on migratory birds, so birds during the season, how they change and how the plumage changes, how the birds change, and she just does a magnificent job in terms of you sit there and you watch and you see this glorious, just incredible photograph of a bird, and then you hear the bird song. Mm. And then the name of the bird comes up and the name of the photographer. So it's that kind of experiential learning, if you will. Rather than showing you everything at once, it's sort of, you're just awed by this photograph of a bird, and then you hear its song, and then you hear its name, and you see who photographed it and where it was photographed on the island. So it's just, if you're a bird lover, or even if you're not a bird lover, it's worth visiting the Heritage Museum and seeing just how significantly the birds change during the year with the seasons. So, Truman.
Well, I was just going to throw out one quick thing about birds. I went to South Africa in 2008, and I stepped out of my room first thing in the morning, and I was struck by the sounds of the birds. It was so different. And, exactly. And I thought, oh my gosh, I am definitely in a different place. But I didn't realize how significant all those bird sounds were. And so when I got back home, I stepped out and I listened, and I thought, oh yeah, this is more like it. I get it.
Interesting along those lines, just again, I'll get to you second, was in when the first European discoverers, voyagers sort of reached New Zealand, they're incredible descriptions of what they call the morning chorus, because New Zealand had separated from Australia before mammals developed. So there were virtually no native mammals on New Zealand. So all the ecosystems were occupied by birds, you know, everything from birds that burrowed underground to birds that run through the trees like squirrels to flying birds to ground-dwelling birds. And in the morning, literally, it would be deafening. And you read these accounts, and it's just so amazing what it must have been like at that point. Lynn?
I was going to ask you a question, Bruce, about that relates to the museum, because I was so pleased to see the article written about the research that Raina Holtz and Lori Tucker has done about Al Bridges, one of the champions of Native American fishing rights here in the 70s, and that our two museum volunteers had dug into the archives and came up with a lovely narrative about Al Bridges' work on that very important time around the Bolt decision and the advocacy of Native fishing rights, because I just think so much, you know, we sit on the land of Native American tribes, and I really appreciate, I'm just trying to say, what the museum has done about that. And my question was, how is that kind of narrative, you know, when somebody is doing original research, how is the museum going to present that in a more, you know, long-term format? Do you know?
Yeah, well, in our archives, certainly. And the museum archives are growing daily. And interesting, COVID, lots of people cleaned out closets during COVID. And so we have been inundated with photographs and artifacts and things like that, that people are sort of realizing, hey, these are worth preserving. And so when next time you clean out under your bed, rather than taking it to the tip and dumping it in the dump, you know, bring it to the museum and let the museum archivist go through it and sort of realize what's there. But yeah, we're preserving all of that stuff in the archives, but also we're trying to transform the website into a much more publicly accessible so that people can go in and see the 10,000 photographs that we have.
No yard waste, though, right, Bruce? No yard waste.
No yard waste.
No yard waste.
Okay, yes, you want to be clear about that.
Definitely no yard waste. Yeah, right. So we've only got a couple minutes. So one of the things we've done is transformed, and largely through Kevin's leadership, the briefly into doing these sort of small talk sessions where we bring in people to talk about current issues, so it doesn't become poor old white guys with gray beards, except for Kevin, you know, just talking about the world. You know, as alumni, how is that working? Or do you even listen to the briefly?
I do listen sometimes, and I like the small talks. The small talks actually often turn into the larger part of the show, which is great because it brings in information about local happenings that are both progressive and often intensely political, which of course I always like.
Yes, and it lets you be able to publicize who's coming on, and so people can follow that if they want on the radio, that any of the crazy people who aren't regular listeners, you know, might choose to tune in. So thanks for doing that. I find that helpful.
That's thanks to Kevin. That's he puts that in the paper every week, and that's really helpful. We appreciate it very much.
Liz Shepherd.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And, Do you know if the audience has grown since then?
You know, we have a new metric that we're starting to watch, and I mean a new system that we're, and there's going to be a metric that shows our listenership, and we're working on that.
It's huge. So, it's bigly.
Yes, bigly.
It's just taken off.
Speaking of Trump.
I was hoping we'd get through a whole show without.
You mean the taking off the part?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I will say, Bruce, with that lead in, we do have Greg Rayborn for the Vashon Maury Island Groundwater Protection Committee joining us next week, followed by Mike Witt. Craig has arranged Mike to join us to talk about the Sportsman's Club and the Vashon Island Fall, in case listeners are intrigued.
All right. Thanks, Kevin, for that. And I think we're just about out of time. So let me just thank everybody. Thank Sheila and Kevin, Truman, Craig, and all our guests, you know, Lynn, Gail, Susan, Michael, for joining us for this reunion session of the Briefly. And let's do this again.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thanks.